actually love that reading because, especially with the twins, because it speaks to about me and my twin sister. So I'm going to speak today on the faith of Yitzhak. And although you can read through that and you can't see the faith, you are showing me the faith. So let us pray. Our Father, open our eyes so that we can see wondrous things from your glorious day. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in your presence, your love, because you are my rock and my redeemer. And I ask this in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Can we go to Bereshit 25:23, please? Thank you. What happened there? Starting on the wrong page. He does that to me at times. Okay, Yitzhak does not seem to be a man of action. When we read about Yitzhak, we see that he's a man who is a quiet man. And he seems to have a very evenly based life. He doesn't seem to have many trials in his life. On all accounts, when we look at Yitzhak's life, he seems to have spent his days in quietness and silence. And I believe that is because he was a man of faith. But concerning his children, Yaakov and Esau, we are told, one, that they were prayed for. Their parents were childless, and the children were obtained by prayer, according to Bereshit chapter 25, verses 20 to 21. And since Yitzhak was 40 years old when he took Rivka as his wife, the daughter of Betuel the Aramean of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban the Aramean. And Yitzhak prayed to Yehovah for his wife because she was barren. And Yehovah answered his prayer and Rivka was conceived. And in Bereshit 25, 23, 26, it goes on to say, next slide please. We don't have the regular people on the desk, and it's so different without the girls there. Bereshit 25:23-26. And Yehovah said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two people shall be separated from your body. And one people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. And when the days were filled for her to give birth, and see, twins were in her womb. The first came out red all over, like a hairy garland. So they called his name Esau. And afterwards his brother came out with his hand holding onto Esau's heel, and he was called Yaakov. And Yitzhak was 60 years old when she bore him. Now, Yitzhak was the only son and was the person of whom the promised seed was to come. So despite that he did not marry at an early age, he married Rivka when he was 40. Yitzhak was 60 years old when his sons were born, according to verse 26. So if we do our maths correctly, he was married to Rivka and they were childless for 20 years. That's a long time. But he was promised that the seed would come from him. But they waited 20 years. Abraham was promised the nation to come from the seed of his son to Sarah, which was Yitzhak. The accomplishment of Yehovah's promise is always sure, yet it is often slow and seems to be crossed and contradicted by divine intervention. The faith of believers may also be tried. Their patience exercised so that their long-awaited time for mercies may be the more welcoming when they do come. While this mercy was delayed for Yitzhak, he did not approach a handmaiden's bed, as his father Abraham had done with Hagar, and stayed faithful to his wife Rivka. He did not go ahead of Yah, like his father. Instead, he prayed. He not only prayed, he would have interceded for his wife. And though Yah had promised to multiply his family, he prayed for its increase. He interceded, Yah had promised to multiply his family, and he prayed for its increase, knowing that Yah would supply. For Yehovah's promise must not ever and will not ever supersede, but encourage our prayers to be improved on as the ground of our faith implies. Even though Yitzhak had prayed for this mercy very often and continued his supplication to Yehovah for many years, it was still not granted. Yet he did not stop praying. We should pray without ceasing. The scripture tells us that, not to give up. And I truly believe, and I teach this to many people, that when we have prayed and we believe and we know that Yehovah has heard our prayer, then's the time to start thanking him for that child or for that outbreak. Even people wanting a husband. Yah has promised you a husband. Thank him for the husband that you're going to get. Because yes, we're praying and we've asked for it. If we truly believe that Yehovah loves us like he says he does, if we have faith enough to pray and ask him, instead of being the usual adult and praying and taking it back and praying and taking it back and not being the child that prays, gives it to the Father and leaves it with him until it fixes it, then when we've got to that realization in our life, then we start thanking him. Thank you for my husband. Thank you for that child. Thank you for whatever it is that you are praying for. And it's really important because that's stepping out in faith. Being barren for a woman is something that no person can comprehend unless they have lived it themselves. Praying for a child with no results can be so debilitating, emotionally, physically, and mentally. Doubting yourself as a woman brings on stress that no one can imagine. Absolutely no one. And so Rivka and Yitzhak were in that type of stress for 20 years, but they kept pressing in the Yah before seeing any fruit to their prayers. And I believe that must have been a pretty stressful 20 years. In Luke 18 and verse 1, slide 4, it says, "And he spoke a parable to them," that's Yeshua, "that they should always pray and not lose heart." They were to pray without ceasing, knock till the door is opened, and never lose heart or give up. Yitzhak prayed for his wife, and some read it, prayed with his wife. And I believe they would have prayed together. Husbands and wives should always pray together. And it's intimated through the apostles' caution when we read in Kepha Aleph, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. It says, "In the same way, husbands, live understandingly together, giving respect to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the favour of life, so that your prayers are not hindered." The children of Israel had a tradition that Yitzhak took his wife with him to Mount Moriah, where Yehovah had promised that he would multiply Abraham's seed. And as I said, this is just a tradition. It doesn't mean it did not happen, or it even did happen. But the point is that Yitzhak was with Abraham because he was to be like put on the altar and slaughtered. When Abraham was told by Jehovah that we cannot deny the fact that Yitzhak was not to be, that he did not give up his son, he was prepared to slaughter his son to obey Jehovah, and because of that he was told he will be a father of many nations. Yitzhak was there when Jehovah spoke to Abraham, so maybe he did take his wife back to Mount Moriah. I don't know, but it's a tradition. It's not in Scripture. Bereshit, Genesis 22:16-18 says, "By myself I have sworn, declares Jehovah." Honey, Bereshit, chapter 5, slide 5. Well, it's the one before Yeshua. Oh, that's it. No, 16 to 18. There, that's it. What's the sound? Okay. "And said, by myself I have sworn, declares Jehovah, because you have done this, and you have not withheld your son, your only son, that I shall certainly bless you. I shall certainly increase your seed as the stars of the heavens, as the sand which is on the seashore, and let your seed possess the gate of their enemies, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." Yitzhak would have heard that promise, because I'm sure when Yah spoke to Abraham, Yitzhak was present at the time, and he would have heard. Regardless of where Yitzhak prayed for his wife Rivka, Jehovah heard his prayer and he answered him. Now children, as we all know, are a gift of Jehovah. They're not really ours, they're just a gift that we have to look after while we're on this earth. Those that continue constantly in prayer, as Yitzhak did, shall find at last that they do not seek in vain according to the words of Yeshayahu. We go to slide 6, please. Next one. Next slide. Yeshayahu 45. Yeshayahu 45:18-19 says, "For thus says Jehovah, creator of the heavens, he is Elohim, former of earth and its maker. He established it, he did not create it to be empty. He formed it to be inhabited. I am Jehovah, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I have not said to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I am Jehovah, speaking righteousness, declaring matters that are straight." Now the twins, Esav and Yitzhak, were prophesied of before they were born. And great mysteries were wrapped up in the prophecies which went before them. And we read this in Bereshit 25:22-23. So it's in. "And within her the children struggled together, and she said, if all is right where I am this way, so she went to ask Jehovah." So Rivka obviously spoke directly to Jehovah. They had an awesome relationship. "And Jehovah said to her," she heard him, "two nations are in your womb, and two people shall be separated from your body. And one people shall be stronger than the other, and the older serve the younger." Yitzhak prayed for 20 years for a son, and now his wife is having two, probably as a reward for long waiting. Jehovah often outdoes our prayers and gives more than we are able to ask for or even think. Now Rivka, having two sons with her, put her into a state of confusion. I only prayed for one, now you've given me two. They're struggling inside of me, what am I supposed to do? She was perplexed in her mind concerning her present state. The children struggled together within her. The commotion she felt was altogether extraordinary, and they made her very uneasy. Whether she was apprehensive that the birth would be her death, or whether she was weary of the continual tumult within her, or whether she suspected that it was even an ill omen, it seems she was ready to wish that either she had not been with child, or that she might die immediately and not bring forth such a struggling brood. Before, the desire for children was her trouble. Now the struggle of the children within her is a problem. As the old adage says, we must be careful what we ask for. The comforts we are most desirous of are sometimes found to bring along with them more occasion of trouble and uneasiness than we expected or imagined. We as human beings are too easily discontented with the comforts we have because of the uneasiness that comes from looking after them. Often we don't know when we are pleased, we don't know how to want or how to thrive. And this is a struggle between the kingdom of Yehovah and the kingdom of Hasatan. In the world, the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent has been contending ever since the enmity was put between them in, and in this case caused, a constant uneasiness among men. Can we go to slide 8, Bereshit 3:15, please? And I put Bereshit 3:15, I put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall crush your head, and you shall crush his heel. Yeshua himself said in Luke chapter 12, verse 49, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. And in Luke 12, 51, do you think that I came to give peace on earth? I say to you, no, but rather division. But don't let this be an offence to us. Yeshua told us there would be division. How many of us know that accepting Yeshua as our Messiah, as a Jew, know that causes division in families? Then for believers that are doing the Sunday thing and then decide, no, you are spoken to me and I've got to do the Saturday and observe Torah and observe the festivals and not the pagan festivals that I used to obey. And once again, we get division amongst families, amongst friends, amongst people we thought were friends. But don't let this be an offence to us. A holy war is better than peace of the devil's palace in the hearts of a believer. No sooner is Yeshua formed in the soul than immediately there begins a conflict between the flesh and the old nature, and the Ruach, the spirit of the new, the Ruach Kodesh, and the spirit of the old. It's tearing you, pulling you, twisting you, and it can be a torment. In Galatians 5:17, slide 9. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you do not do what you desire to do. The stream is not turned without a struggle. This should not discourage us. It is better to have a conflict without sin than tamely submit to it. What course did Rita take for her relief from the struggle that was within her? Well, she went straight to inquire of Yehovah. The word and prayer, and it is by both that we now inquire of Yehovah. And he gives us great relief to those who are perplexed, as Rivka was. She obviously had an amazing relationship with him, Jehovah, as she heard his voice as he spoke to her. And it's a great relief to the mind to spread our case before Jehovah and ask his counsel. And this is done by asking and then waiting, being quiet and still, not even praying in tongues. Pray in tongues first, then ask Jehovah what he wants you to do, what needs to be done in a certain situation, and then wait. Just quietly wait on him. Close your eyes and wait. He might give you a scripture. He might give you a vision. He might even give you outright words. But he will answer you. It's called waiting on Jehovah. And it's a quiet time that you can do any time, and you will get an answer. In Tehillim Psalms chapter 73 verse 17, slide 10, it says, until I went to the set apart place, that is the Holy of Holies, the place of El, then I perceived their end. The set apart place is your quiet place. It's the place where you spend with Yah every day. And perceived their end means answered your prayer. This is the answer. You wait until you are answered. Rivka knew how to wait upon Jehovah to hear his answer to her. The information given to Rivka upon her inquiring expounded the mystery, as it says in Bereshit 25:23. And Jehovah said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. So as we read, she's not only pregnant with one child, she's pregnant with two. And not just two children, but two nations. This meant that it was not only their manners and their dispositions, but they were greatly differ from each other, but even their interests, in their interests, they would clash and contend with each other, and the issue of the contest would be that the elder should serve the younger. I can attest to that. My twin sister and I are like chalk and cheese. She was the firstborn and always and still has a strong constitution, while I was the softer, quieter one. Got the double dose of every childhood disease, including scarlet fever. She is the extrovert, and I the introvert. And my own father's name was Yaakov. And I've always been able to identify with these two twins because of my twin sister and I. My twin sister will walk into this room, and you won't find me. I'll be under here. But she'll probably be dancing on the table. And it's happened. Jehovah is a free agent in dispensing his grace. It is his prerogative to make a difference between those who have not yet made themselves done either good or evil. The Apostle Shaul refers to this in our reading from Romans 9:12, when he said, it was said to her, Rivka, to the bottom, the older shall serve the younger. In the struggle between grace and corruption in the soul, grace, the younger, shall certainly get the upper hand in the end. When they were born, there was a great difference between them. And this served to confirm what had been prophesied in Bereshit 25:23. There was also a great difference in their bodies. Bereshit 25:25 tells us that the first came out red all over, like a hairy garment. So they called his name Esau. Now you might be wondering, red, fair skin, red hair, for a Hebrew, for a Jew, Believe you me, it's all through my family. Jews are redheads. Jews are all colours. Yeshua was of the colouring with his hair and his eyes and his skin colouring, that from him every single race could be born. Yeshua. Because he was the second Adam and he was the son of Yah. So he contained within him from the blackest of black to the whitest of white, including every eye colour, including every hair colour. That has been found in, I've read scientists that have read that DNA. Esav was born rough and hairy, as if he'd been already a grown man. When we think of rough and hairy, we often think of black. But his hair was red, with a red beard, with a red hair, red hairy chest, red hairy arms. And it's not a picture we always get, but that's how Esav was. And this was an indication of a very strong constitution. And it gave cause to expect that he would be very robust and daring and a very active man. But Yaakov was smooth and tender as other children. The difference of the men's capacities and consequently of their condition in the world arises very much from the difference of their natural constitution. Some are plainly designed by nature for activity and honour, others as manifestly marked for obscurity. This instance of the divine sovereignty in the kingdom of providence may perhaps help to reconcile us to the doctrine of the divine sovereignty in the kingdom of grace. It is Yehovah's usual way to choose the weak things of the world and to pass by the mighty. In 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 26, verses 26 and 27, slide 12, it says, "For look at your calling, brothers, that there might not be many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But Elohim has chosen the foolish matters of the world to put to shame the wise, and Elohim has chosen the weak of the world to put to shame the strong." There was a manifest contest in the twins' births. In Bereshit 25 to 20, 26 and 27, it says, "And afterwards his brother came out, his hand holding onto Esav's heel, so he was called Yaakov. Esav the stronger came first, but Yaakov's hand took hold of his heel." This signified Yaakov's pursuit of the birthright and the blessing. From the beginning, he reached out to catch hold of it and, if possible, to prevent his brother from receiving it. His providing for it that in the process of time, he should undermine his brother and gain his point. Therefore, he was given the name Yaakov, which means supplanter. The twins were very unlike in their temperament, like chalk and cheese. As my sister's twin sister says, "She bends, but I snap." Well, and that's what chalk and cheese do, and we are chalk and cheese. And in that way, they lived accordingly. The boys grew up, and Esav became a man knowing how to hunt, a man of the field, while Yaakov was a complete man dwelling in tents. They soon appeared to have very different dispositions. Esav was a man of this world. He was a man addicted to his sports. He was a hunter, a man who knew how to live by his wits. He was cunning. Recreation was his business. He studied the art of it and spent all his time in it. He never loved a book, nor did he care for being indoors. But he was a man of the field like Nimrod, and Ishmael, all for the gain. And he was upon the stretch in the pursuit of the kill. Yaakov, on the other hand, was a man of the other world. He was not cut out to be a statesman, nor did he try to look great, but he was a plain man, dwelling in tents, an honourable man, but always meant well. And he dealt fairly with others, and preferred the true delights of solitude and retirement to all the pretended pleasure of busy, noisy sports. He dwelt in tents as a shepherd. He was attached to the safe and silent employment of keeping sheep, to which he also bred his children to do the same, according to Bereshit 46 and verse 34. And it says, that you shall say, your servants have been men of livestock from your youth, evil till now, both we also our fathers, so that you dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination to the Mitzrayim. The interest and the affections of their parents was also different. Yitzhak and Rivka had only two children, and it seems one was the father's darling and the other the mother's. We're not supposed to have favourites, but they did. Yitzhak loved Esav because he ate of his wild game, but Rivka loved Yaakov. Yitzhak thought he was not an inspiring man himself, for he went into the fields, he went to meditate and pray, not to hunt. Yet he loved to have his son active. Esav knew how to please Yitzhak and showed a great respect for him, by treating him often maybe with venison, which gained him the affections of the good old man, and won upon him more than one could have thought. Rivka was mindful of the words of Elohim, which had given to the preference to Yaakov, and therefore she preferred him in her love. And if it is lawful for parents to show a difference in love between their children, upon any account, without doubt, Rivka was right, because she loved him whom Elohim loved. In Messianic Jews, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 20, it says, by belief, Yitzhak blessed Yaakov and Esav concerning that which was to come. By faith, Yitzhak blessed two of his sons. By acting out of his faith, Yitzhak blessed Yaakov and Esav concerning things to come. Yitzhak had to activate his faith. He blessed them, that is, he lifted them up to Yehovah in a covenant. Yitzhak took his hands off the situation of his sons' futures, and he trusted in Yehovah to perfect them. He recommended them to Elohim as being obedient observers of the Torah. He prayed for them and prophesied concerning them. He prophesied what their life's condition would be and the conditions their descendants would be. You say, hold it, Tamar. The Torah hadn't been given. No, it hadn't. But even Noah and Adam knew what was clean and what was unclean. The Torah had been given to them because Yehovah spoke to them one-on-one. It wasn't until Moshe came along and wrote it all down that all people, regardless of their relationship with Yehovah, was given the Torah. And crazy as it was weakened received. But people that were close to Yehovah, like Adam and Hava, like that heard Yehovah's voice, like Noah, the same with Moshe, they knew what was the right things to do. They knew what was obedient to Yehovah's word. So Bereshit 27, verses 27 to 29 says, and Yitzhak, or he came near and kissed him. And he smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which Yehovah has blessed. And Elohim give you the dew of the heavens, and the fatness of this earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brothers, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be those cursing you, and blessed be those blessing you. And slide 15, it says in Bereshit 27, 39 to 40. And Yitzhak, his father, answered him and said, see, your dwelling is of the fatness of this earth, and the dew of heavens from above. And by your sword you are to live and serve your brother. And it shall be when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck. We need to notice that both Yaakov and Esau were blessed as Yitzhak's children, at least to temporal good things. They were blessed for the things of life on this earth. It is a great privilege to be the offspring of parents who are believers, and often the rebellious children of believing parents fare better in the world for their parents' sake. These children are covered under the present covenant of the parents' household, but they are not the best things. The best things come in life when we have left this world and gone to live and reign with Yeshua. Yaakov had the principal blessing, which shows that it is grace and that the new birth that exalts people and their fellows and qualifies them for the best blessings. This is solely by the sovereign free grace of Yehovah, that in the same family one is taken and another is left. One loved and another hated. Since all the race of Adam are by nature hateful to Yehovah, that if one has his portion in this world and the other in the better world, it is Yeshua who makes the difference. Even the comforts of this life are more and better than any of the children of man deserve. Now Yitzhak struggled with difficulties in his life. Yitzhak seemed to have forgotten how Yehovah had determined the matter at the birth of these two, sons, when we read in Bereshit 25, verse 23. And Yehovah said to her, two nations are in your womb, two people shall separate from your body, one people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. This should be the rule of Yitzhak all along, but instead he was swayed by natural affection and by general custom, which gives the double portion of honour, affection and advantage to the firstborn. And this is the firstborn's son only. The girls don't matter. Girls don't count. Yitzhak acted this matter with some reluctance when he came to pronounce the blessing over Esau. And it says in Bereshit 27:33, he began trembling uncontrollably because he was upset and said, who was it then who hunted wild game and brought it to me? And I ate of it before you came, and I have blessed him. Yea, he is blessed. And he indicated to Yaakov, yet suddenly taken away, Esau's blessing. And Bereshit 27:35 says, your brother came deceitfully and took away your blessing. Notwithstanding all this, Yitzhak's faith recovered itself and gave Esau the blessing and says, I have blessed him, and yes, he shall be blessed. Now, girls, sitting here, I don't want you to think that you're not special, that you're not welcome. I was talking about the Hebrew lifestyle. When I was raised as a child of one of five, my grandfather would say to my mother with the birth of each child, is it a son or is it a child? Four girls came and we were all just childs. It wasn't until my brother was born 7 years after me that the son was acknowledged. And it was the son that receives the double portion of blessing. That was the custom in the day, and it's the custom of most Jewish people today. Yes, girls are accepted and girls are part of the family, but in their way of life, the girls are separated and put in a different place. You go to an Orthodox synagogue, the women are separated, and it's only the men that are allowed to read the Torah only the men that are able to take part in the service. And so it was pretty, that's just part of custom that's come from way back in Bereshit, that it was the firstborn male. And that's why Lot's daughters had problems, because they didn't have a brother. Because they wanted their inheritance when it came to the promised land. They didn't have sons to pass it on to. It's just how it was in those days. Rivka and Yaakov are not to be justified in the indirect means they used to obtain this blessing. But Yehovah will be justified in overruling even the sins of men to serve the purposes of his glory. It pleased Yehovah to pass by the weaknesses of Yitzhak's faith, to commend the sincerity of it, and record him among the elders who through faith have obtained a good report. We can all err in our faith, even though we've been given a promise, because of the length of time our prayers take to be answered. We need to press into Yah at those times and not let our faith waver. Yah is faithful and just, and he does come through. We must need to hold on to our faith and know his timing is perfect. You shall all know what you are believing for at this time, that your prayers will be answered. Just start speaking it into being, visualize it, and start thanking Yah for what he's about to do in your life. Because he will never fail you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Anyone got any questions before we move on? Because we have to be running late. Anyone's fine? Let's move on to the remembrance service, and it is on the back page. And now you see that.